You see how busy we are with many things. Turn us to listen to your teachings and lead us to choose the one thing which will not be taken from us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from Genesis, the 18th chapter. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 15 responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Whoever has a blameless life and does what is right, who seeks the truth from his heart.
There is no guile upon his tongue. He does no evil to his friend. He does not heap contempt upon his neighbor.
In his sight, the wicked is rejected, but he honors those who fear the Lord.
He has sworn to do no wrong and does not take back his word.
Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent.
Whoever does these things shall never be overthrown. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, the first chapter. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. You know that meal prayer? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed. Nice and simple. It's a favorite of many people. It's a favorite prayer of mine. Don't ever ask my husband to pray a meal blessing. I mean, the food gets cold by the time he finishes the prayer. I like the nice short ones that allows you to give God thanks and get to the food. Nice and short. But what does it really mean? What does it mean when we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest"? What does it mean to invite Jesus to be a guest at your table, in your house? What does it mean when you invite anyone to be a guest in your home? We hear this first reading today from the book of Genesis, the story of Abraham and those three strangers that come to visit. There's this rule, desert hospitality. If you had a tent in the desert and a stranger came by, you were obligated to provide for that stranger some hospitality, food, water, shelter. That was the rule of the land. It was a good rule. It caught the stranger, who may be a friend, who may be an enemy, it caught that stranger in a position of at least during that time as hospitality is being extended, that stranger who may be an enemy would be a friend. And on the other side, that hospitality that was expected and demanded was also life for the stranger who was traveling in the desert. This was the source of necessary food and water. Strangers became guests and hosts became the salvation, the source of life, providing the necessity. So here we have this story. Abraham, hot afternoon, laying in the shade in front of his tent. Typical of nomadic culture, of that desert hospitality, he sees these people coming, three strangers, and he runs to welcome them, to catch them off guard if they would be an enemy, to say, you're welcome, come to my tent and be nourished. He offers food and drink. He knows that these strangers aren't going to stay. They're traveling in the heat of the day. They must be on a very important mission. He knows that they're going to continue their journey after they've rested, after they've had something to eat. Abraham is not at all surprised that strangers have come to his tent. It was a normal thing. Normal thing. Travelers were a common sight, and the fact that they were journeying past his tent was no odd thing at all. But the ordinary becomes extraordinary when those strangers start asking questions. Where is your wife, Sarah? Sounds like an ordinary question, but how'd these strangers know my wife's name was Sarah? Where'd they get that information? Did they talk to the people the last place they stopped? Know any place for lunch? You know, we're traveling this way. Where should we stop? Where can we, when we get a good meal up the road? Do you know who lives in that tent by the oaks of Mamre? Maybe they got information at their last stop. But these are interesting questions for strangers. Interesting, they don't call Abraham by name. They call Sarah by name. And the question, where is she, shows us some little hint that there's something extraordinary going to happen in this story. There's something going to happen. They have supernatural knowledge. And even more mysterious than knowing the name of the wife is the fact that they know, or one of the visitors knows, that she's going to have a child. She's going to have a baby. That could only come from a messenger of God. A son will be born. Sarah will have a baby. Now, our story stops at this point. But if we would pick up the Bible and continue to read in the book of Genesis, we would hear Sarah laughing at that announcement, standing behind the tent flap, just breaking out in belly laugh, at the fact that I'm 80 years old, my husband's 100 years old, I've never had any children. You guys think I'm going to have a baby? She's laughing. But the joke's on her. No, the joke's in her. A year later, she does have a baby. And what do they name that baby? Isaac. You know what the word Isaac means? He laughs. Or a little joke. Or God smiles kindly. So they name the baby God's little joke. It's a great name that Sarah and Abraham give this child. She's laughing with joy, with expectation, but most of all with surprise. And she has this child. Abraham welcomed the surprise visitors as guests to his tent, and he extends hospitality to them. Sarah welcomed the surprise visitor in her womb and received the blessing of that guest whose name was Isaac. In the letter to the Hebrews, we learn the point of this story. Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. Do not neglect hospitality. We find another story of hospitality in the gospel today. Jesus comes visiting, stops at Mary's, Martha's house, and he's welcomed by these two sisters. But they welcome him in very different ways. Martha has expectations about how Jesus should be treated. She also has some expectations about her sister and what she should be doing. Mary is preparing to welcome this visitor too, and her expectations show us a new form of welcome, of discipleship. This is what Luke has been talking about. If you look back in the Gospels to the stories that we've heard last Sunday and the Sunday before, these stories right before this story of Mary and Martha's visit, we hear the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan who extends hospitality by crossing borders, crossing boundaries that are artificial boundaries we hear in the story, but reaching out as a neighbor to someone in need. And the point of the story is this is what it means to be a disciple. Then we hear this story, and Jesus says this is what it means to be a disciple. Not just active doing, like the Good Samaritan story that I just told you yesterday, but what it means to be a disciple, the better part, is listening, active listening, paying attention to what Jesus said. Discipleship is about being an active neighbor who attends to the physical needs, but also being a contemplative listener who who attends to the inner need. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet doing so much more than nothing. She is welcoming Jesus in a deeper way than merely being concerned about physical needs. Mary is welcoming Jesus in her mind, in her heart, in her soul. She is taking in all that Jesus has to offer. She is open to receive the gifts given to those who listen to Jesus. Remember that first part of the story when the lawyer comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus and the lawyer says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." The love of God is mentioned first because that is the better part. That is the important part of being a disciple. Mary and Martha were good and helpful, but Jesus looks at Martha and asks her to rearrange her expectations. Martha is so distracted and lost in the work that she forgets to pay attention to her guest. She's anxious, and that's what is distracting her from attending to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, "You shouldn't be working, Martha." Jesus says, "You shouldn't be anxious, Martha. Don't let your anxiety take you away from your guest." I used to be a very nervous, anxious hostess. When people would come to my house, I would be nervous about it a long time before they would come. I needed to make sure that every napkin was prepped just right and that all of the glasses matched all of the other glasses and that they were just right. The knife with the blade this way with the glass here. I was very anxious. And I realized that this was not a good thing because I was spending more time focusing on the anxiety than I was on the guests. I didn't even have time or energy left to be friendly to the people who were coming to my home. And I was making a good transition from being overly concerned to being less concerned. And I thought I was making good progress on this. In fact, I must have been. My brother-in-law was sitting at the kitchen counter visiting me, making his own sandwich for lunch, and he said, you're really relaxed, a lot more relaxed than you were the last time that we came to visit. And so I told him that I was working at trying to be less concerned. And he tried to give me a compliment, but what he said is, "Well, I can tell you're really doing a good job of not caring." He meant it to be a compliment, but it didn't come out like that. What do you think Jesus would have said if Mary would have been the sister to ask the question? What if Mary would have said to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that Martha is so busy in the kitchen that she doesn't hear a word that you're saying? Tell her to sit down and listen." How would Jesus have responded to that? So often that what happens when Jesus is around, things get turned upside down. Jesus insists that there is something even more important than pressed, ironed, folded napkins. There is something more important than glassware that all matches and is in exactly the right place. Hospitality is important, but even more important is paying attention to the guest. Even more important than preparing that soup for Jesus is listening to what Jesus has to say. More important than attending to his physical needs is his commitment to him. He doesn't say that service and hospitality are not important, but he does say that listening and paying attention are the better part. Martha is invited to give up her anxiety. She isn't told not to work. Jesus doesn't say, "Let's order out." He says,
don't be anxious.
The story isn't about action versus contemplation. It's not about doing versus being. It's about action and contemplation, with contemplation being the better part. It's about doing and being.
But being is the better part.
Listening to Jesus is the better part. That's the surprise in this story. Discipleship doesn't mean only doing service. It also means listening to Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. What do you expect when you invite Jesus to be your guest? What do you expect? The root word, the Latin word for expect, is look out. And we can look out in fear, like, look out! And we can also look out in wonder and surprise, like looking out, waiting, expecting. Sarah looked out of her tent with wonder and anticipation, listening to that message from God, you will have a child. She welcomed that son as a blessing from God. Mary was looking out when she sat at the feet of Jesus and took in his every word. She welcomed the word of God as her light and as her life. How do you look out in expectation when you invite Jesus to be your guest? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. What do you expect? What do you expect to happen through your offer of hospitality? You can say, what's next? What's next? Or we can say, what's next? Thank you for the blessings that you have given. And now, what's next? What's the next blessing? What's the next event? Discipleship means looking out in expectation and saying, what's next? Discipleship means not merely doing good things. It begins with the expectation that God smiles kindly on us through the faces of those who would be our guests. It continues through our faces as we smile and do good deeds, extending the smile of God on the world, surprising the world. We're looking out for what's next. Discipleship is hospitality that involves both doing and listening. But there's more good news. There's more good news today. We pray, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. But it's Jesus who invites us to be his guest. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are invited to be a guest of Jesus at this table. This is the Lord's Supper. We are invited to be the guests of Jesus Christ. We extend our hands to receive the bread and the wine that is the fiery body and blood of Jesus Christ, given for you, given for us. We are guests at this table, for Jesus extends hospitality to us. His body broken for us, his blood shed for us. We can serve because Jesus has first served us. We can love because Jesus has first loved us. We can show mercy and kindness to our neighbors because we have first received mercy and kindness from Jesus Christ. And this isn't good news just for us. This is good news that we need to tell the whole world. We need to tell the whole world that you are invited to. You are invited to be the guest of Jesus Christ.
We have to fling wide the doors of our church, of our house, of our heart, and tell the world that they too are invited to be the guests of Jesus Christ. Everyone is at welcome. Those who are ironed and pressed, those who are rumpled and tattered, those old, those young, those black, those white, those red, those in between, those gay, those lesbian, those straight, those married, those single, those physically well and healthy people, those physically challenged, those who live with disease and illness. Everyone is welcome at the table, for Jesus says to us, come and be my guest. We pray, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. And Jesus responds, come, be my guest.